Would you turn with me, please, to the passage we read in God's Word, the second book of Kings, and especially at chapter 7. And so, Lord, would enable us, we might consider together verses 3 and 4. 2 Kings, chapter 7, verses 3 and 4. There were four leprous men at the entering in of the gate, and they said one to another, "Why sit we here until we die? We say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. If we sit still here, we die also. Now therefore come and let us fall unto the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live, and if they kill us, we shall but die." Why sit we here until we die? Now, ancient warfare was often a very simple art. You had a city. A city in those days would have a wall around it, perhaps a stout, strong wall. It would be difficult for an invading army to be able to overcome the city. However, there was a simple tactic that could be used to overcome the city. Lay siege to it. Stop food going into it. And especially if it was a city which did not have a natural water supply, then make sure you could stop any supplies of water going into it. And if you could stop the water, and especially if you could stop the food, soon you would reduce the place to famine conditions. And if the place was reduced to famine conditions, the point would come where the people would be forced to surrender. There was nothing left for it. There would be no food left in the city. You would just have to give up and say, "We cannot go on any longer." And here we find ourselves in this passage, in the days of Jehoram, who was the son of Ahab, king of the northern nation of Israel. And here is Samaria, its capital, being besieged by the Syrians. And we find that such is the situation that the city is in an awful plight. We read that an ass's head was sold for 80 pieces of silver, and the fourth part of a calf of dove's dung for 5 pieces of silver. Think of the ass. It was an unclean beast. And therefore the Jews were forbidden by the law of Moses, by God himself, from eating it. Think of the head. Well, there might not be much goodness really in the head. It's certainly not the bit that people would naturally go for. And yet, the ass's head was worth a fortune. 80 pieces of silver. A vast fortune. And not only that, a calf, we're told, of dove's dung. Now, it may refer to dung for the fire, it may refer to lentils. It's difficult at times to know how to translate some of these things. But whatever it was, you're talking about a small measure, perhaps half a pint of dung for the fire or lentils. It would sell for a month's wages. Here is a dire situation. Indeed, it's so bad that some of the people were being reduced to cannibalism. Reduced to eating even their own children. Well, what dire straits things had come to. And outside the city there was a leper colony. And here are four leprous men at the entering in of the gate. Lepers. People who were unclean. People who not only were ceremonially unclean according to the law of God, but people who would be avoided because there was the danger of contamination, There was a danger of this dreadful disease affecting them, and if you caught this disease, there would be no hope for you. Here are these lepers who are outside the city, because that's where the leper is put. There's no hope of working. There's no hope of doing anything much to help yourself. There's not much hope of any charity reaching you if it's at the stage where cannibalism, the eating of children and others, is actually going on in the city. How they must have felt the famine above all people. And death must have seemed certain to them. Were eight that they said to one another, "Why sit we here until we die? If we enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit here, we shall die also." And outside in the distance of the enemy, what hope have we got there? And then in their extremity, as they consider the situation, they ask themselves the question, what are we doing here, sitting here? We've got to do something. And we find them acting, and indeed, finding relief. And friends, surely here, we have a question which directly relates to each one of us tonight. It directly relates to you, as one who is infected with a leprosy of sin, and who is a dying, perishing sinner. Why are you sitting still until you die? Why is it that you have not responded as yet to Christ's call in the gospel to trust in him? Let's consider our text. We notice three things. We notice, first of all, that we have here a reasonable query. And then secondly, a searching query. And then thirdly, an activating query. First of all, here is a reasonable query. Why sit we here until we die? Friend, was this not a reasonable query that these lepers addressed to one another? For they were in danger, in real danger of dying. Think of it. All around, there is death. The weak in the city, the disabled, the old, the young, they would be dying. In a besieged city, there wouldn't be much hope for those who were not strong and fit. Many had died. And they knew that soon they would fall, that they would die. And in such a situation, surely it was only a reasonable thing to say, why sit we here until we die? You see, they were in danger of dying. And friend, you are here tonight. And yes, physically you are very much alive. But is it not true that as a sinner, you are doomed to die? There is one who breaks the law of God, as one who has come short of the glory of God, that you are doomed to die because God has announced in his word time and time again that the wages of sin is death. That you're just deserts. What you deserve, what should be paid out to you, is not only that you should suffer and share in the miseries of this life, that one day you should die, but that you should experience the pains of hell forever. That is the situation you are in. That sin is something which cuts you off from God. And that there is a hell awaiting you, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Friend, do you see that because you're a sinner, although you're very much alive physically, like someone who's about to be led out to the guillotine, you're like someone who is doomed already to die. And you see, physical death is no relief. Sometimes when people die, they say, oh well, he's at rest now. At least the suffering's over. Perhaps it was a long, prolonged illness. Friend, that's not necessarily true. For the child of God, it's true. Oh, what a blessing it is. What a blessed release it is from grief and suffering and trials and troubles when the child of God leaves this world. They do immediately enter into glory and rejoice in the presence of God. Their sufferings and their trials and their troubles are a thing of the past. But friend, that is not true for all. And it will not be true of you if you leave this world without Christ. There's an eternity to come. You are in real danger tonight if you're without Christ as a sinner. And whether your sins may appear great in your eyes or insignificant, remember, there is no such thing as an insignificant sin before God, because every sin is an affront to his glory and a robbery. It is robbery against him. They were in danger. You're in danger. And therefore, to sit still and die is not an option. To sit still and die is not an option. Look at these lepers. They're asking this question. Is it not a reasonable question to ask? Why sit we here until we die? We're going to die if we sit here. We've got to do something about it. We have to find some relief somewhere. It's very natural that we want to preserve our own lives and the lives of others. That's a very natural instinct. It's a good thing. We want to seek some way of relief and of helping ourselves. Well, here are these men. And they are aware that they're slowly becoming more and more emaciated, becoming weaker, walking skeletons, as it were. And they're saying, what can we do? Oh, sinner, cry out to God. Surely the reasonable thing to see is, what must I do to be saved? Some people scoff that people could say such things and be bothered with such things. But friend, if you get a sight of yourself as a perishing sinner, who has the sword of God's justice ready to fall upon you at any moment, then surely the wise thing to do, the reasonable thing to do, the only thing to do, it's a cry out, what must I do to be saved, to be delivered? Not to do that is to be foolish. Here was a reasonable query. Oh friend, let this question be a question you address to yourself then. Am I sitting there under the sound of the gospel? You've heard it from many preachers in many different ways. And are you still without Christ? Don't you realize you're perishing? Perhaps you know you're without Christ. Why are you sitting still? Well, that leads us secondly to the fact that here we have a searching query. Why sit we here until we die? Why? They have to search themselves. They have to ask themselves the question, what am I doing here? Why am I still in this situation? Well, perhaps we can suggest various answers as to why they might be sitting there and not acting. Some sit still if they're unaware of their need. Think of these lepers. For a while they had sat still. They were sitting there still. They were not addressing themselves to this important question, why are they sitting until they die? And it's only extremity that leads them to ask and ultimately to act. It's because they felt their need. And things got to such a state that they said, why sit we here until we die? And you see, there are many today who are perishing, who are like these lepers, who for months perhaps had been there in Samaria, outside the gate, not asking the question, just slowly wasting away. Many like them today, they do not feel their need. Perhaps you yourself are here tonight and you have never asked yourself the question, why am I sitting here until I die? Why is it that I have never cried out as others have? What must I do to be saved? Why is it I am still without Christ, unconverted, and I know it, and I'm not that concerned? What's the problem? You have never felt your need. You have not considered your need. It's not that the need has not been set before you. It's not that you have not seen that need portrayed in various ways. But what's happening? You're forgetting the fact of death. The voice of death rings out. Week by week, sometimes very suddenly, people are taken from us, as happened even in the past week. And you know about these things, and perhaps you say, yes, he got a sudden call. But you do not stop and think, I may get a sudden call. It may be me next. And so you forget then, I'm young. I've still got all my life to live. I've got my plans ahead of me. Well, yes, I'm getting older. But I'm not really aged and infirm. And therefore, the fact of death doesn't make you think. Or perhaps you're grieving, even getting infirm. But still, you just try and close your mind to those thoughts. Friend, isn't it foolish? It's foolish to forget death. It's foolish to forget that there is an eternity to come. It is foolish to forget that it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. Do you not have the evidence of death all around you? You'll have to walk out this building, and you're confronted in the cemetery across the road with the evidence of death. And of the fact that you need to prepare for eternity. You're told about judgment. Your conscience warns you about judgment at times. There are times when you become uneasy and you wonder about these things. And you ignore the warning signs at your peril. Would you not think it very foolish? Someone was driving down a road. There's a sign, sharp bend, slow down. And they put down the foot and drive even faster. If you had someone out in the Minch and they're coming into the harbour here, and there are the harbour lights warning them, there's rocks here, the channel is there. And they say, I don't care. I'll just sail where I want to sail. Why should I be restricted? And they ignore the lights. And they perish in the rocks. Friend, don't be like that. You've got the warning signs around you. Listen. If you're honest, you are aware of your need. But you don't want to be aware. Well, some sit still because they're unaware of their need. Don't be like that. Listen to the situation and respond. Seeing your need. Crying out for help. But then some sit still as they don't know where to turn. Perhaps you're like that tonight. Look at these lepers. They knew they had a problem. A big problem. They're hungry and they're dying for famine. And they're saying to themselves, what do we do? If we enter into the city, the famine is in the city. We can't go there. We'll die there. If we sit still here, we'll die also. To go into the city is no good. To stay where we are is no good. What do we do? Perhaps we should fall into the hand of our enemies, the Syrians. But that seems such an unlikely place of relief. In other words, for many days there must have been a feeling of helplessness. They didn't know what to do. Had there been an easy remedy, they would have sought after it. Well, perhaps you're here tonight and your problem is not that you're unaware of your need, but you're struggling as to how that need might be dealt with. And you don't know what to do. And therefore you may try and ignore the need because you don't know what to do. And what's the point of worrying more and more about a situation which is perplexing you and leaving you not knowing what to do? Or perhaps you're saying, well, what I shall try and do is reform my life and do better, and hopefully somehow that will atone for my sin, because at least that's something I'm doing. And yet you're left without peace. It hasn't really worked, and it never will work, because it's not the proper way of dealing with sin. You're not really knowing where to turn. And so you're struggling on. Friend, does not the gospel show you? Study the scriptures. Study God's word. And all through God's word, where does it point you to? It points you to Jesus Christ. It tells you that this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, even the chief of sinners. It tells you that there is a remedy. There is a fountain open for sin and uncleanness. There is a place of cleansing. There is a place of forgiveness. It tells you that Christ crucified is the only hope of sinners. It tells you, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Have you listened? Have you understood? Have you tried to listen? You see, unless you try and listen, you're not going to get very far. Listen and study the scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation, and pray that God would show you these things and help you to understand what is really a simple message, that Christ died the just in the place of the unjust to bring you to God. And if the wicked will forsake his way and turn unto the Lord, he will have mercy upon him. That there is one in whom there is forgiveness, Jesus Christ. O friend, will you not go to him? Will you not turn to him? There is the place you have to go. Go, and you shall have him. But then, there are some who sit still as they feel they have no warrant to go to the place of relief. Do you understand the place of relief? That the place of relief is to be found in Christ and Him crucified. Do you understand that? Perhaps you do. You've heard it from your youngest days, that Christ is the Saviour, the only Saviour. You know you cannot save yourself. You know your good works are as filthy rags in His presence. That's not the problem. But the question is, have I a right to go to the place of relief? Well, look at these lepers. What do you find here? The lepers, they say, now therefore come and let us fall into the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall but die. The lepers, they're saying, well, there's certainly relief with the Syrians. They're bounty of food. They could help us. But their question is, will they help me? Not is there a Saviour, but would they help me? And so it is with the sinner. Perhaps you're here tonight. You know Christ saves. You have seen others delivered from sin. You have seen others who were anxious about their sin, and they have found peace in Christ. You've seen those who perhaps were steeped in a sinful and obviously sinful lifestyle, and their lives have been turned around. And it wasn't their doing, it was Christ's doing. And you know He is the Saviour. But your question is, will He save me? What right have I to go to Him? And therefore you're sitting still. You do not go to Him. Because you're asking the question, what right have I to go? And you feel no warrant to go. Well, friend, look at these lepers. What can we say about these lepers? They went anyway. Is that not what they did, friends? They went anyway. They didn't start asking themselves the question, will the Syrians receive us? Will they be kind to us? They went anyway. You put it this way, nothing ventured, nothing gained. And therefore they ventured themselves upon the mercy of the Syrians, hoping that they would find relief. They had no warrant to go. They had nothing to encourage them to go. But they went anyway. And you see, you may be here tonight, and you're looking for a warrant to go to Christ, and you're looking for the wrong sort of warrant to go to Christ. You're looking at your own soul and you're saying, well, if only I experienced a bit more conviction of sin, because, well, the Bible tells us that it is the penitent sinner that is called to turn to the Lord, that the Lord Jesus receives such people. That is true. Impenitent sinners don't turn to the Lord, do they? They don't embrace Him. We are called in the gospel to turn to the Lord, and that He will receive us to our God. He will abundantly pardon. That is what the wicked are told to do. But perhaps you're saying, well, how can I go to Christ? I don't feel my sin the way I should feel my sin. If only I knew more conviction of sin, if only I was more and more anxious about my soul and humbled before the Lord, then I would go to Him. Friend, you'll not find in God's word a prescription of the depth of conviction that God expects from the sinner. Do you feel yourself a sinner? Turn to the source of cleansing in Jesus Christ. The depth of conviction is not the warrant you have to go to Christ. You don't say, well, if only I could sort out a bit more of my life, sort out a few things, then I could go to Christ. As if your reformation gives you a warrant for acceptance with Christ. If only I had stronger faith, then I would go to Him. Or if only I knew I was one of the elect. Perhaps that's what you see tonight. You know that Christ died for His own. He did not die for all indiscriminately. And if you're saying, well, if Scripture showed me that I was one of the elect, then I would go to Christ. Friend, don't do that. No one who ever came to Christ went to Him because he knew he was one of the elect. They went to Him because they knew they were sinners in need. What does Scripture say to you? It says to you this, make your calling and election sure. And note the order, it's calling and election. How does anyone here tonight who may be a believer, who has that strong assurance that they could even venture to say, well, I believe I am one of the elect, how did they come to that conviction? It was surely because they knew that they had come to faith. They were trusting in Jesus. Were persuaded they were trusting in Jesus. And therefore they worked it out, my Lord, you could say, followed what Scripture taught, that those who come to faith, and whose faith is seen to be a genuine faith, they love the brethren. That's how we know we've passed from death to life. And you see, that comes after coming to Christ, not before. You're looking for the wrong one. You'll never get that if what you are waiting for is a sign from heaven saying, you're one of the elect, you can now go to Christ. What is your warrant? Your warrant to go to him. It's a good warrant, but it is a very simple warrant to go to Christ. It is simply the invitations of Christ in the gospel. Whosoever will, let him come and take of the waters of life freely. Ho, every man that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. Ye that have no money, come ye buy wine and milk without money, without price. You know your need. You've got nothing to help you. Go to him, and he'll give. That's what the prophet's saying. Think of Christ's invitations. Come unto me, all ye that weary and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Friend, are you a thirsting sinner? You know your need. Go to him. There's your warrant. You go to him and you say to him, you have invited all to come. And as a needy sinner, I come with nothing that I have, but I come as a needy sinner seeking forgiveness in the only place available. There's your warrant, friend. The invitations of Christ in the gospel, a good warrant, a sufficient warrant, the only warrant you need. Do not sit still because you feel you have no warrant to go to the place of the relief. Friend, you have a warrant in those invitations of Christ in the gospel. But perhaps you've heard those invitations and you still have a problem. Let these lepers, you sit still perhaps because of a fear of reception. Think of these lepers. If they save us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall but die. They had kept back until this time because they expected to be put to death if they fell into the hands of the Syrians. They had nothing to encourage them to go, but they went anyway. They were lepers. That didn't help them. What hope would there be of them getting food? They were enemies. And therefore, no doubt, they did with fear reception. Well, friend, does not sin make you an enemy of God? And Scripture tells you that God is angry with the sinner every day. He is angry, therefore, with you every day. And therefore, some perhaps are left saying, but how can I go to him? I'm a sinner. Surely I will not be deceived. But listen to the promises of Christ. Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Do you doubt that's for you? Oh, remember how it was often said of this man. This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Oh, for a Saviour. A willing Saviour, one who willingly receives sinners. And you know of the assurances of God's word? In Isaiah 55, the question may be raised, but how can it be that God would forgive the wicked? My ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways of dealing with people are different, and therefore I, the God of heaven, gladly receive penitent sinners. They are forgiven for the sake of Jesus. He is the one who delighteth in mercy. You think of the parable of the prodigal son. Father, I'm not worthy to be called one of your children. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he's received. What is the message for you? who perhaps are labouring under the weight of sin and are fearful of the deception. It is, go to him, and surely you shall be received by him. None who came to him earnestly seeking him, none who came as penitent sinners, were ever rejected. Friend, it's only your own unbelief, and it's only your unwillingness that keeps you from Christ. Stop and ask yourself the question, why sit we here until we die? And deal with that question, and answer that question, and act upon it for your own good. And so we notice, thirdly, here was an activating query. Why should we hear until we die? Come, and let us fall unto the host of the Syrians. Friends, notice the question led to action. Here are the lepers. They're roused to action. They ventured out in hope. Well, we might as well go there. There's nowhere else to go. At least there might be some relief there. They venture out in hope. Well, should this question not lead you to seek the Lord? Should it not lead you to seek relief? To venture your soul in Christ and to cling to him alone as a sinner in need of a Saviour? It should lead to action. Not to. It's a court day. Friends, there may be many times for an action, but now is not a time for an action. Now is a time to be up and doing. Now is a time to be applying to Christ personally, because you're perishing, and you may perish sooner than you think. Apply to him now, while it is a day of salvation. Flee to him and seek life and forgiveness in him. You'll notice this query led to action, which brought relief. The lepers found relief. God dealt with them mercifully, because he was going to deal in mercy with Samaria and relieve the famine. And they and others were delivered from a horrible day. And you see, all who go to Christ, all who flee to him, shall find salvation in him. And as you could say, there was a great deliverance that day in Samaria. So there is a great deliverance for all who trust in Christ Jesus. He completely saves. He forever sees. You will find relief. And you will only find relief. But you will find a complete relief in Christ. Here was a query that led to action, that brought relief. Well, what are you doing? Are you still without Christ? Are you still without Christ tonight, friend? Why sit we here until we die? You're like these lepers. You're doomed. You are doomed. And it may be soon that you'll be called to meet your neighbour, Maker. Act. Act, friend. And flee to Christ while it is the day of salvation. And find relief, looked for relief in him, and you shall find it. But be aware that if you refuse to act, the Sovereign Lord of all will call you to account, and great will be his wrath. That you heard the gospel, and you refused the Saviour, the one who is able to save to the uttermost all who come unto God by him. Oh, friends, why sit we here until we die? Be up and doing. Flee to Christ, and you shall have life and forgiveness through him. Let us pray.